You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It is President's Day, I guess, unless you're in Canada, that is. It's February 21st, 2022. And John Rubino is with us. John, I know we were both talking about watching these trucker demonstrations in Canada and then the brutal manner in which they were dispersed by Fidel Castro's illegitimate son. At least some would call him that. How long can a country go on like this?
Well, you know, Carrie, the neoliberals around the world have just gone full on authoritarian. Wherever they are, they're arresting people and stealing their bank accounts and stuff like that. So, you know, I guess Canada would be the least likely place for this to happen, because at least by reputation and in my experience, they're just really nice people. So it's so out of character to see half the country behaving so brutally. But one of the interesting and terrifying things that you see over and over again is whenever a dictator takes over, all of a sudden they find that they have no shortage of prison guards and secret policemen and stuff like that. It's like there's all these sociopaths just waiting for their side to take over so they can start brutalizing people who disagree with them. And apparently, even in Canada, that's true. You know, the police are behaving in ways that that you wouldn't expect. Because it seemed like for a while the police mostly kind of agreed with the truckers and everything, but they just they've just gone wild, like the police in every authoritarian country eventually do. That it's Canada is just bizarre, though, because that's, first of all, it's a place we know very little about because they very seldom cause trouble. You know, there's so infrequently trouble up there that we never are forced to learn about them. You know, I just learned that Ottawa was the capital of Canada in this whole thing.
Amazing.
I would have guessed Toronto.
Is it?
I would have said Toronto.
And yeah, Toronto is the capital. Everyone.
Maybe Vancouver. Yeah. And so in that sense, it's a good thing for us because it forces us to learn about another country, which is always useful for an American, right? Yeah. You know, and right now we're learning about Canada and about Ukraine. So we're getting a very rare education about the rest of the world lately here. This Canada thing. There are many lessons that we can take from this. And we talked about a couple of them, but I think the biggest one now is that your bank account is not safe. As soon as you cross the psychos who are in charge, the first thing they're going to do is go freeze your bank account and take your money away, right? So Now, anybody who's paying attention to this, I think the lesson is that, one, you don't want to have your money in a bank. And two, you may or may not want it in a Bitcoin wallet and a crypto wallet, because they went after those things too. And they didn't turn out to be rock solid protection. You know, the government has the ability to freeze Bitcoin exchanges and Bitcoin wallets. And in that way, mess with your finances. So this is obviously talking my book here, but this does feel like another reason to own physical gold and silver, because at least the government can't just steal that from you with a new law. You know, they have to physically come find you and search your house, and that, you know, they're totally capable of doing that, but it's a lot more work for them than just saying, okay, from now on, all bank accounts are frozen. Anybody who donated to this thing here is going to have their bank accounts frozen. We're going to clean those accounts out, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's fairly simple in today's world, because they're already surveilling us financially. Like the banks and the government via the banks already know what we're doing with our accounts. If it's as if they want to destroy the fractional reserve banking fiat currency system with what they're doing now, their immediate response has all these unintended consequences that either they're just not thinking of them because they're so secure in their power, or because they want this to happen. And, you know, it's the same thing with the SWIFT system. Whenever the U.S. gets mad at anybody around the world, and, you know, I'm talking Russia and China primarily here, what they do is they threaten to kick that country's banks out of the clearing system that allows their banks to transact overseas. And it's a system we control in the U.S. And that, is, you know, doing that is so guaranteed to force these other countries to start transacting outside of the SWIFT system that it's as if we want that to happen too. And I can't believe that, you know, the neoliberal neo-fascists now want us to leave the banking system, and that the U.S. wants Russia and China to leave the dollar-denominated bank clearing system. But that's what we're doing. You know, we're taking steps to bring these things about. And I just, you know, I wonder how shocked these guys are going to be when all of this that they're bringing into being actually comes into being.
Hey, well, you'll need to keep your funds in like Target and Best Buy and Visa, MasterCard gift cards. You know, we'll have a gift card economy, because there is probably very little way for them to figure it out, or cash or precious metals. But like you said, there's a definite parallel towards attacking your citizens financially. And what the U.S. does, we kicked Iran out of SWIFT, I think, at one point. Maybe they're back in now. We threatened Russia. And basically, if you kick them out of SWIFT, is really hard for them to transact business. Maybe they could do it through crypto exchanges, but I tend to wonder. It's clearly another reason that you need to own physical gold and silver, right?
Well, it sure seems like that, because the you know, the gold bugs are the only ones who aren't looking at this and thinking, oh my God, my accounts are in danger, because they're you know, they've got stacks of silver and gold coins that the government isn't yet trying to mess with. You know, that's a later stage in the process. I think, see, when we go to a cashless society, which is the next stage of the process, they're softening us up for this now. And at some point, they're going to institute, you know, central bank digital currencies, and they're going to migrate all our bank accounts over to an account at the Fed that is even easier for them to loot when the time comes. Once that happens, there won't be cash. There will be very few ways of transacting that circumvent the central bank digital currency. And so, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think that, you know, we've got multiple kinds of preparation going on out there. The governments are preparing for the, you know, the total authoritarianism in the financial realm, where they can monitor everything that you do, and then they take your money away if you do anything that cross them. Simultaneously, you've got all the preppers out there stacking their gold and silver, preparing to be as self-sufficient as possible for the day when they totally can't trust their governments anymore. And the governments are actually coming after their bank accounts, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's going to be interesting. We're going to have this gigantic black market out there that that governments will obviously go after. And we'll see how it goes. You know, we'll see if they succeed in bringing the preppers to heel, or if it's like with terrorists, where, you know, you mess with a couple of them and you end up creating another 100 to take the place of the two that you messed with. And the opposition just grows exponentially until it swamps the system. We'll see. You know, I'm totally pulling for the, you know, the preppers and joining them in every way I can. But that's our coming decade. You know, that's the battle that we're going to have to fight between people who want to be free individuals and governments who are appalled by the very concept of a free individual. And you're seeing that in Canada now. You know, Trudeau is just freaked out by people peacefully protesting policies that they disagree with, which used to be the bedrock practice of democracy. You know, that's the thing the left was always in favor of. And now all of a sudden, people doing that is terrorism from their point of view. They just, like, you know, they turned on a dime. They just flipped a switch. And they went from being pro-freedom to pro-authority. And, you know, if it can happen in Canada, it can certainly happen in the US because we're not nearly as nice as those guys are. And, you know, in the US, there's already this core group. Well, there are several core groups of proto-fascists, basically, on the left and the right. And they're ready. They're just waiting to become the next generation prison guards and secret police. So we'll see what kind of a government comes along and decides to activate all those sleeper cells and, you know, bring them in. But man, what a decade we have ahead of us here.
Yeah, well, you know, you might want to see about acquiring some ballistic precious metals, too. While you still can, that's always a good thing to have in your inventory, for sure. Hey, so Ukraine, you know, I think that Putin has totally trolled the West. I don't believe he's got any interest in shedding any Russian blood to go in there. I think he's just creating this this whole incident for whatever reason, to keep the price of oil up at $100 a barrel, perhaps, or to increase the price of palladium, you name it. He benefits in so many ways. And if they go to war, you know, you never know what's going to happen in a war. So my guess is I'm betting there isn't going to be a war, but there's going to be this uncertainty into the indefinite future, John.
Well, yeah, I mean, this could be seen as a test of how the U.S. and our allies, who are, you know, borderline useless, because they're mostly Europeans who are, you know, very old societies who really just want to be left alone at this point. But it's a test of how NATO and the other U.S. alliances behave when they're under pressure, when they're confronted with a threat. Because, you know, I think one scenario that China and Russia are looking at right now is simultaneously taking care of business in their neighborhood. You know, China goes in and just takes Taiwan back, which they could do in about 15 seconds. And Russia does what it feels like it needs to do to preserve its military base in Ukraine. They do it at the same time and dare us to get involved in two battles on the other side of the world simultaneously and see if we've got what it takes to do that. And, you know, it's highly likely that, what'll happen within the U.S. government, I think, is that Biden will just melt down because that's too much information for what's left of his brain. But the neocons.
I didn't know there was anything left of it. Okay. Thanks for filling me in there, John.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I gave him too much credit there. but at the same time, he's got all these neocon psychopaths in his circle who are going to be lobbying for a war. They want to end it. They want to end any potential threat out there by just taking out China and Russia's military. That's what they would love to do. And they actually think that 5% of the world's population can rule the world for into the indefinite future, and that this would be the beginning of a, you know, Pax Americana. And they're not worried about all these new weapons that we have out there that nobody knows, you know, what'll happen when they're thrown against each other, you know. So it's not clear who we should be more afraid of, you know, Russia and China, who are in a calculating way trying to take care of business in their neighborhoods and you know, become the dominant powers in their neighborhoods. And the U.S., who thinks it can rule the world forever, while it's the world's biggest debtor nation and, you know, while its population is aging and while its leaders are really not the best we could have thrown up there at this point in our history. So I don't know. It's a terrifying prospect. Basically, however you slice this, you know, whoever decides to try to accomplish their goals out there, it's going to be at the expense of possibly a lot of people. And, you know, it's just terrifying. And what's creepiest about this domestically here is that the left in the U.S., you know, the guys who used to be anti-war, are now the warmongers. You know, if you go to CNN or MSNBC, these people who consider themselves progressives, who consider themselves very far to the left, extreme liberals, they're the ones who think we should go in and take care of all these countries that we can't even find on a map, mostly. You know, we should risk war over Taiwan. We should risk a war over Ukraine. Why? They don't know. They just feel like we should, you know. And
it's our job.
Well, you know, we're the policemen of the world. Therefore, we should be out there projecting power. And you know, these are the guys who, during the Vietnam era, were out there protesting against military intervention, and have ever since that time been on the anti-war left until pretty recently. You know, it's a fairly recent thing, like the last 10 years or so, that the military industrial complex has taken over the mainstream media. It's shocking. You know, Glenn Greenwald just posted a brilliant piece on his Substack. So, and you know, everybody who's listening to this, go to Substack, sign up for Glenn Greenwald and Matt Taibbi, and let them be your sources of news, and then just turn off cable news completely. Just stop listening to it. Pick up the occasional Tucker Carlson video on YouTube. But otherwise, just stop paying attention to the crazy people who are in charge of the media right now. You know, go find sane voices doing actual investigative journalism out there, and let that be where you get your news. And, you'll be more terrified because you'll see how crazy the world has become, but you'll at least be working with legitimate knowledge and legitimate judgment from people who are, you know, honest about their opinions.
You'll be happier. You'll be happier you did. Just give up all network news, propaganda. It's nonsense. I mean, just look what they've done over the past couple of years, and you see that they're completely useless. They've outlived their function. It's a miracle that anybody is watching CNN, but I think they've gone a week without a sex scandal, so they're doing pretty well now, aren't they?
Well, you know, that's one fun trend right now, is watching the mainstream media just shrivel up and die, because if you just chart their viewership, it went from being fairly decent a decade ago, and then, you know, declining, and then spiking during the Trump years, and then falling off a cliff as soon as Biden became the president, you know, and they didn't have Trump to be terrified of anymore. And basically, there's no way that with the money that they make from the viewership they have, that they can pay all their talking heads. So in the next couple of years, there's going to be this bloodbath where, you know, one famous guy gets fired and another one leaves to spend time with his family. And a third goes and you know, makes his own Substack channel. And of course, that doesn't work very well for him because nobody wants, you know, it's going to be like that. It's going to be this drumbeat of these people who seemed bulletproof a few years ago, just having to go out into the real world and try to actually produce something of value. And, you know, that part of it's going to be fun. It'll be fun to watch that. But, Carrie, you know, I don't know how much time we have left, but the stock market is getting interesting. We need to talk about the potential collapse of at least tech stocks here.
Look what's happened to Facebook. Somebody asked me, should I hold this stock? And I just pulled the chart up on my phone. And I said, does that look like a company that stock's going higher on you? Does it? And she hadn't looked at the chart. It was like, I own that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Facebook and most of the rest of the established social media they've lost so much credibility lately that and other alternatives have emerged, so that you're seeing this shift out of, you know, the mainstream news media, of course, mainstream media, and then the social media companies that are basically on the same team as corporate media now. So yeah, and meanwhile, their stock prices in general, not Facebook's, their price has come down pretty hard lately, but in general, big tech's market capitalization is still outrageously high. Even in good times, the multiples at which those stocks trade to earnings and sales, et cetera, et cetera. You know, any kind of measure you want to use, they're really richly valued. And they're heading into a time when the Fed is tightening, you know, so monetary policy is it's still loose right this minute, but it's going to become less loose, and then tighter if they keep on the way they're going. And with inflation being as high as it is, the Fed has no choice but to start tightening, okay? And that's traditionally followed by stock prices going back to some kind of a reasonable valuation, because all of a sudden they're not just being flooded with newly created cash. And with big tech right now, that means a 50% drop minimum, which will pull down the big indexes. You know, anybody who's shorted the NASDAQ just lately is making money. But it's completely possible they make a lot of money going forward, because a lot of these big stocks could easily fall by 50% just to be fairly valued. And usually cycles like that overshoot. So, you know, the legitimate 50% drop could be followed by another 20 or 30% drop when people panic, you know, the capitulation part. So if you've got some put options, I'm talking my book here again. Sorry. Disclosure, I have some put options on the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. And but right now, those things look like fairly low risk, fairly high potential reward speculations, because between the geopolitics we just talked about and the fact that equities are wildly overvalued still in the face of tightening monetary policy, that's usually a prescription for hard times in the stock market. So we'll see. You know, lots of things can happen. There's no guarantee, but history says that this is a setup for a big short kind of scenario where you bet against the market and you make a lot of money for once.
Yeah. Well, it's about time that valuations came back down to earth. We've been in this situation now for close to two decades, but the easy money obviously is over. Hey, we should cover the fact that it appears that the pandemic has gone endemic, that most states, even provinces to our neighbor in the north in Canada, are doing away with passports, mask mandates, with all these restrictions. It looks like it's not a politically popular platform for the midterms.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
American Eagle Gold is focused on exploring for a world-class gold deposit on its flagship property, Golden Gate, located in the Cortez Trend next door to Barrick Gold and Newmont Mining's Gold Rush and Cortez Mine. They have produced over 27 million ounces of gold. The company plans to drill and advance its relatively unexplored property and continue to focus on acquiring and advancing gold projects in the area. Vice President of Exploration Mark Bradley was at the helm of the team that discovered and defined Gold Rush and has spent the better part of 30 years working on the Cortez Trend. American Eagle trades under the symbol AEG on the TSX Venture. For more information and to sign up for notifications, go to AmericanEagleGold.ca.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
You know, you could make the case that in Canada, the truckers have won because they started their protest, and then a lot of their version of states up there immediately got rid of their vaccine mandates. And so the truckers who are traversing the U.S. border up there have gotten what they wanted. They no longer, at least I think, they're no longer required to be vaccinated in order to drive back and forth across the border. They're paying a high price for it, possibly, since their bank accounts have been frozen and everything. But, you know, here in the U.S., a lot of states and cities are looking at how popular the leadership of Florida and Texas is, where they never had lockdowns or vaccine mandates or anything like that. They're seeing the elections coming up and thinking, all right, we need to get out in front of this and say that we've always been in favor of free people making their own decisions. You know, that's what you're hearing from these guys, from these libertarian mandate proponents. And even in California, like you said, they went endemic, which is to say they admit that we're just going to have to live with COVID from now on. We're going to treat it like the flu, you know, and we'll you know, take steps, but mostly by individual choice. and we'll just go on from there. No big mandates, no destruction of half the small businesses in the state anymore. All that's done. And now the challenge for them is to find a way to convince people that they were always on the side of human freedom.
Oh, yeah, of course they were. Well, anyone can see that. Yeah. Just look at all the empty storefronts in New York City between the riots and the epidemic, the pandemic, as they want to call it. And now it's kind of turning into a big nothing and yet another wooden stake in CNN's heart, because if they can't talk about the pandemic, they lost Trump. They're not going to talk about anything else that anyone cares about. So I guess, will the last viewer just please turn off your TV set, because they're going nowhere. Hey, one thing I wanted to cover that I think we have to cover. We are, after all, are a couple of financial guys to some extent. Did you see that Tesla and Musk went after the SEC for constantly abusing them and annoying them and harassing them? Because as Musk, being a neo-libertarian, I guess, is saying things like Sleepy Joe doesn't know what he's doing, that government investment is not as efficient as private investment. That's pretty outrageous. I could imagine why the government would come after you for that. Maybe they're planning on seizing Tesla's crypto wallet.
You know, the nice thing about Elon Musk is, another full disclosure, I'm short Tesla, but not because of Elon Musk. I just think it's an overvalued stock. But he really doesn't care whether he's the richest guy in the world or the 100th richest guy in the world. I think he cares that he's rich, but within that range, he's happy to say whatever he comes into his head about the government, you know, and he's just driving the SEC crazy because he does all these things that are, you know, that should be illegal in the eyes of the SEC, but their lawyers have to go look it up and go, okay, was he allowed to do that? Like he did where he did a poll on Twitter and said, okay, should I sell $10 billion worth of stock or not? That might be against the rules, or it might not be against the rules. And the SEC has no idea, but they don't like him doing that, you know? And so, but he did it. And the voting went in favor of selling the stock, and he sold it. Yeah. And he's done a bunch of things like that. Regulators crazy.
You know, my favorite troll that he did at the SEC was when he appointed himself king of tech for Tesla, and the CFO became the master of coin, and they did a public filing on it. And can you imagine the lawyers in the SEC, like, they're totally being mocked. As you know, as he said, like, you guys, you don't go after abusive short sellers, but after me. And then they were after him because he said that Tesla was going to go private at $420 a share. Now, I don't know if this was a troll or not, but this is where he got into all sorts of trouble. Tesla had to pay $40 million into a fund to reimburse owners who sold their shares because the whole thing was preposterous. And now, according to Musk, the SEC has never distributed that $40 million, and he's upset over it. Now, he kind of has a point here, John, because after the whole failed transaction, the stock quadrupled or quintupled. So who was really harmed by it?
Yeah, yeah. The SEC, I think, believes that you aren't allowed to say things like that. And there's probably some rule somewhere, you know, in the regs that could be interpreted as banning a CEO from saying, hey, we're going to do an LBO at this price. You know, there's probably a rule that says you shouldn't do that, but Musk doesn't care, you know?
And nobody got hurt by it because stock wound up going higher. Nobody's selling. Well, maybe some short sellers got hurt by it because the stock price went up, but whatever happened, obviously, when you're dealing with securities laws and regulations, John, you're not allowed to have a sense of humor. That is strictly off the table, because if you make a joke, you know, and somebody buys a share because you made a joke, you're going to be on the hook for it. So they don't know how to, like most liberals, most bureaucrats don't know how to deal with people who are just having a joke at their expense or who have a sense of humor. How do you put that person down? Well, I think the only thing you can really do is just seize their bank accounts and seize their crypto wallet. That'll get the smile off their face, right?
Well, you know, that we should do a whole show on cryptos sometime and the implications of this, where they are seizing, like in Canada, they're seizing and freezing Bitcoin wallets. And what does that mean for, you know, crypto as an alternative to fiat currencies? It's an interesting subject. And, you know, Elon Musk, I bet we could find some good material from him if we just do a Google search of Elon Musk Bitcoin wallet freeze or something like that. See what that search turns up.
Well, so that's our headline. Will Musk's crypto wallet get frozen?
Yeah, be careful. The SEC might not let you use that headline.
Yeah, well, since we're not giving financial advice, I always tell you not to take our advice. We'll be okay there. But man, this is crazy. Hey, final story you wrote down. I've been reading it all day. The Credit Suisse story. Somebody out there likes us and did a massive dump of every account holder who is anybody. Putin's there. The only one I didn't see there was Joe Biden, but was Hunter Biden in that mess?
Well, you know, these Swiss banks, I mean, all the big banks are at their core criminal enterprises now, right? And so when you start, when you start saying, okay, well, this one is worse than Goldman Sachs, or, you know, it gets kind of dicey because you don't know all the evil stuff they've done. So you can't really say that.
And they're doing
The Swiss banks, oh my God, everything that comes out about them, they basically, you know, they built a country that is really just a big business around the idea of financial privacy, which in conceptually I like. And but what they did was they took it to its logical extreme, where anybody, any kind of psycho killer criminal, could just do a horrible thing over here and then shift the proceeds from that horrible thing into a Swiss bank. And there it stops. Nobody can touch that guy's ill-gotten gains, because the Swiss banks have, nationally enforced privacy rules. And then everything that comes out about them, you know, anytime there's a leak, it's always horrifying. You know, this guy who is a torturer for this, you know, quasi-fascist government has $10 million in a Swiss bank account. So he's living in the Bahamas now. You know, there's stuff like that all over the place about Swiss banks. And Credit Suisse just was it 18,000 accounts, Gary? It was something like that.
It was a lot of accounts.
Hey, yeah.
One thing to realize is their secrecy, their cloak, has weakened over the years because they have extensive operations in the United States, the Swiss banks, a lot of them do. And as a result, the U.S. government was able to apply pressure to them to disclose all of their American holders, account holders, and then they closed out all the American accounts at the Swiss banks. So it's not as inviolate as it once was, but there's no protecting from these people that hack in and manage to find all the accounts. I wonder, you know, John, if you look, GiveSendGo, a crowdsourcing platform used to finance the truckers in Canada, that got hacked and they released 100,000 names, and a guy who was an Ontario cop fired. So I wonder if this is the cross salvo. Oh, you're going to go hack the GiveSendGo and disclose them? We're going to blow you guys out. We're going to hack the Swiss banks and show the world what you guys are hiding.
Well, you know, whoever is doing this stuff, go for it. I mean, it's, you know, this kind of leads into what they've done to Julian Assange, who was the, with WikiLeaks, he was the place you sent your documents from when you wanted to expose wrongdoing. And now he's basically just been locked in a cell for a decade. And they're basically trying to just kill him through neglect right now. And the guy is a journalism in the best sense of the word, or a journalist in the best sense of the word.
Well, he used to be practiced in the free world.
Yes. And So that ties into the whole rest of the, we're going authoritarian thing here. Whenever anybody stands up to these governments now, they feel free to take their tormentors down in any way they want to, and they can get away with it because such a big part of the population will still vote those guys back into office because so many people are terrified right now that they're happy. You know, half the world is looking for Plato's philosopher prince, right? The smartest, best person to be put in charge of everything, give them absolute power and they will do what's right. And so now they're treating these people who are manifestly not philosopher princes like that. They're giving them basically carte blanche to go out there and do horrible things to the people who are trying to expose wrongdoing in the world. And, it's a dark time. We are really going to be forced into choosing sides in a big public way in the not too distant future. And, I think we should all be preparing for that.
I totally agree with you, John, and hopefully you've already picked your side because the authoritarians don't care about you. They don't care about me. In so much, the only thing they care about is, are we a threat to their game? And you just have to look across the world. There are Justin Trudeau's, or as they call them, Brando's, all over the world, and they're really enjoying what Trudeau has done and looking to follow his example. Hey, even people in the European Parliament were condemning Trudeau for what he did. But of course, Canada's so-called opposition party has done absolutely nothing. And we didn't even mention the fact that Brando imposed effectively martial law under the Emergencies Act in Canada, suspended habeas corpus, although I don't think they have a right to it in the Canadian Charter of Rights, but appropriating property without due process, all these things, these are the signs of authoritarianism. Don't think it can't happen here. The only thing that stops us so far from having that is that we've got 57 states, and each state has got its own version of insanity, and some states are freer than others. And if you want to know which states are freer, just look and see the states whose populations have increased dramatically, not just over the past 2 years with the pandemic, but over the past several decades. That will tell you everything you need to know. John, we got to go, but make sure you go over to John's site, dollarcollapse.com, read his compelling commentary, sign up for his free newsletter, do the same at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. John, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Carrie. See ya.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.